Welcome to this presentation from the Downey Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are located in the greater Los Angeles area at 9820 Lakewood Boulevard in Downey, California. We would love to have you worship with us any Saturday you are in our area.
Michael Chapman, I don't know if he interviewed Denzel Washington, but he shares a story of a time when Denzel got a role. Denzel says, when I was young and started really making it as an actor, I came and I talked to my mom. She said, Mom, did you think this was going to happen? I'd be so big and I'll be able to take care of everybody and I can do this and I can do that. And Denzel's mom promptly replied, oh, you did that all by yourself? I'll tell you what, Mr. You can do it yourself. Go outside, get a mop and a bucket, and go clean those windows. Superstar. Stop. Stop it right there. If only you knew how many people have been praying for you. How many prayer groups, how many prayer talks that her mom, that she had given, how many times she had been praying and hoping. Humility. Something that I think is lost in today's age. Pride goes what? Before the fall. Proverbs talks about that several times. Humility. It's a key characteristic of a follower of Jesus. We're wrapping up this series called Follow Me. And one of the key attributes, one of the defining attributes of Jesus is his humility. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we close out this series, Lord, Follow Me, lead and guide us, especially as we touch upon the topic of humility. In Jesus' name, amen. So kind of just to give a little bit of a recap to close out this series, the first week we talked about Follow Me, where Jesus literally calls his disciples and kind of a metaphor of the fact that God calls all of us to follow Jesus, to learn from, to spend time with, imitate, and to share Jesus with others. Bill later talked about pumping up your faith, and sometimes faith can be scary. Sometimes faith is going to take you to places where it's going to feel uncomfortable, but it's vital for your growth. One of the things that we also, how do we then follow Jesus? One of the ways that we can do that is by loving others. And how did we share that? We share it through one of the ways, through prayer. Both loving those who are easy to get along with and loving those who are also sometimes difficult to get along with. Today, we're going to talk about humility, and especially with the fact that we're also going to be participating in communion in a little bit. When you look through Scripture, there's a number of stories in we can find about humility. One of the first ones that I think of is in Daniel 4, when King Nebuchadnezzar found himself in a position of humility. At one point in his life, he has this amazing dream, and he's told that you are this tree that is super strong. You've had many good years, but guess what? The tree's going to get cut. Nebuchadnezzar thinks about this. Oh, I don't know if I like that. What was it signifying? Nebuchadnezzar's humility was going to get him at some point. And a year later, he's looking around his vast kingdom. He's on top of the roof and thinking, I did all of this. Me, 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 me. And lo and behold, what instantly happens? He's changed. He's formed. And how does he spend the next 7 years of his life? As an animal, essentially, eating grass, being amongst the wild animals. Now, the tree was cut and the stump was left, signifying what? There was still a foundation where he would come back and he would still be able to grow and prosper again, but with the idea of a more humbled perspective. I think of Naaman, a soldier, one who had power, who had influence, struck with leprosy. And his wife's servant, someone that he had probably stolen from another land, tells him, hey, you need to go back to my home and see this guy named Elisha. He'll help you out. To go from one land, your own proven home, you're better than everyone else, you've conquered everyone else, to go to another place to seek help. But when you have leprosy, and in that time there was no cure, you do what you have to do to survive. So he gets together, he actually brings gifts, he's ready to go, he crosses in, and there's some hiccups along the way. And then when he finally gets to Elisha, he's informed, go dump yourself seven times in the river. And the river that he was told to go to, was it the cleanest of rivers? It was disgusting. I can't think of any horrible river right now, but it's a bad river. It's dark, it's brown, it's filled with all kinds of gunk. And he's repulsed by this. Seriously? And what do his fellow officers, his soldiers, and his servants say? What have you got to lose? You're already losing parts of yourself. And seven times he goes into this river, he dunks his head seven times, and when he comes up the seventh time, he is changed. Humility. I also think of Moses when he stuck his neck out for the people because they'd done something wrong yet again. And what does God want to do? He wants to just start all over. I think part of this was a test, though, for Moses, though. And Moses says, you will not do that. By the decree that you've set and everything, you're not going to do that. He calls God out. Last character that I think of before we get to Jesus is that of John the Baptist. Early in the book of John, we see that John was already, it was prophesied that he would be the one to help usher in Jesus by sharing, going, preaching, and baptizing. And he was getting a lot of notoriety, but he knew he was not the main attraction. Jesus was the main attraction. And he says, he must increase and I must what? Decrease. Takes a lot of humility. My young cousin, what a punk. He's going to become better and bigger than I. That was not in his mindset. Now, David Brooks also, he talks about humility. And he talks about it, I believe it was in the Atlantic, and he states, humility is really our new pride. Have you thought about this? Have you ever heard of the term a humble brag? So David Brooks, he wrote, and he kind of mocks for what passes as humility these days. He pointed to a tweet from, I believe it was the president of a European central bank at the time. The guy says, I was humbled to be awarded an honorary degree by the London School of Economics earlier this week. Thank you so much for this prestigious honor. And so Brooks pointed out there's three things wrong with this here. Number one, never tweet about any event that actually leads to humility. Number one, right? Never tweet, I'm humbled that I went to a party and nobody noticed me. Or I'm humbled that I got fired for incompetence. That's not something you tweet about, right? Not the right kind of humility. Or how about using the word humbled when the word proud would actually be more apropos? Truly humbled to be a keynote speaker at the TEDx greeting later this week. The key to humility is to display it as a self-effacement, as a tool to maximize your self-promotion. Number three, never use a pronoun. Start your tweets with humbled to be or honored to do this. It sends the message that you only have a few seconds to dash off to get this tweet out before you have to get to your next appointment, right? Humility. Yet sometimes when we try to be humble, we come across as condescending, right? When we look at the life of Jesus, there are three key aspects in his life where he showed humility. Number one, from the very beginning, how did Jesus come into this world? As a baby, in a barn. As a baby, could he protect himself? Not really. Who did he have to rely on? His parents and the shepherds, those around him, caring for him. He had to depend on his mom for food, sustenance. They provided shelter. They provided security. They provided love and affection and raised him to be placed in such a fragile position. And yet, were people trying to kill him? Absolutely. He also humbled himself so many times. We actually don't even know how many times, because as the book of John says, there's so many miracles that Jesus did that not all of them could be counted or just recorded. It just takes too much space. But Jesus humbled himself regularly, even when he was tired, even when he was exhausted, even when he probably was starting to get hangry. He did not stop helping others. He always served and looked out for others. Finally, the third time when he truly humbled himself is when he died on the cross. Just a little quick plug, next week is Easter. Hope is alive is our theme. I truly am looking forward to next week. Now in the book of John, if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of John, John chapter 13. I know this is a story that we've looked over, but there's always something I think that we can always glean every time. And one of the beautiful things about the Bible is no matter how many times I read it, I tend to find something that I hadn't noticed before. I can't wait till when I'm much older, I can look back and see all the other more little nuggets I've gained. But John chapter 13. All right, we all there? Okay, it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Isn't that just that alone right there? How long did he love them? To the end. And then the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his what? His power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. This is the beginning of a meal over the next several chapters. Jesus is going to share some things that they're going to keep in mind, because he's basically about to tell them, I'm leaving you. You know, when you find out your best friend is leaving, and you think it's, okay, well, when are we going to get together? Jesus says, I'm not coming back for a long time. There's no Zoom meeting that you can have. There's no text message that you can necessarily have this back and forth clearly, right? And they're scared, but Jesus doesn't leave them despondent. He promises that there will be one who will be able to help. But at the very beginning, he's setting the example of a key characteristic that they should be able to emulate. So verse 4, so he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you really going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. How many times in life do you sometimes wonder, why is this happening to me? And then maybe a week later or 20 years later down the road, you realized it was all because of God's doing. There may be an experience right now of joy that you're experiencing that will help prompt you to move forward with joy. But there are times more often than not, negative situations, things that we truly, really don't want to be dealing with right now at this stage of our life, are actually a catalyst to help you grow, to not only further develop your relationship with God, but to help develop you as a person. And sometimes those are uncomfortable. And sometimes we look at these difficult, challenging times in our life and realize it was much easier back then, amen? And it only helps to help you grow and mature. Peter, though, says, you will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And so which Peter, or Simon Peter, responds, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus said, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean. Though not everyone of you is, for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why not everyone was clean. Verse 12. He says, after this is all finished, washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. And he says, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now you know that these things, you will be blessed if you do them. How many of you have worked in the food service industry? How many of you ever worked for customer service at a cash register? How many of you have always heard the statement, the customer is what? Is always right. Is that true? No. That is the biggest lie I've ever heard. You know, customers, I'm right. They're arrogant, they're opinionated, and they demand, even when they're wrong. And yet God still tells us to love them. God still loved Judas, even though he knew he was going to betray him. That last meal was together. Could Jesus have called Judas out in front of everybody? He says, no, go and do what you need to do. Love, humility. Jesus exemplified that through washing his disciples' feet. For those of you who may be new to this story, you see, in Jesus' time, when you entered a household, somebody, usually the host, or somebody who's maybe not as important in the pecking order, would always go and get water, a basin, and a towel to be able to wash one's feet, because back in the day, they didn't have very nice shoes, they didn't have Jordans, they didn't have Louis Vuittons, and they didn't have cars. They walked everywhere, and oftentimes, if you were lucky to have sandals, great. Otherwise, you were walking on your bare feet. And your bare feet what? Got dirty. And they walked through everything, and especially in the dirt. So when you entered a household, somebody would immediately usually have water to wash one's feet. And Jesus, who is the teacher, as he's also called rabbi in other areas of scripture, he wasn't the one who's supposed to be washing their feet. That's a servant's job. And yet the leader of the group, the teacher, the rabbi, humbles himself and does a servant's job. What is he indicating here? That we should serve one another and that we are all what? Equal. How often do we sometimes, maybe subtly or intentionally, separate ourselves because of, well, I have a better job, or they come from a different place. They seem really rude when they're really just passionate, and that's the way they grew up. How often do we try to differentiate ourselves? Why do we always look for the differences and why we should avoid them when we should be thinking about why are they different and what can I learn from this person? Foot washing in the church, I think, is the great equalizer, because it forces us to reconcile with ourselves that we're not always the same, and we're not perfect. It takes humility to wash one another's feet. It takes vulnerability to take your socks off and expose your feet to someone else. Over the years as a pastor, I've had to wash many feet. I've had to set the example. And sometimes it's not always easy. Sometimes it's not pleasant. I'm just gonna be honest. I've washed some gnarly feet over the years. And for every one of those individuals that I washed those feet, I loved them even more because they were good people. We're all different. We all come from different walks of life. This towel is a representation of humility. I have one in my office, and I have my Bible, my childhood Bible that when I was baptized, they gave me. On that towel, I was baptized many years ago. I gotta do the math. Almost, I think I'm at 27-ish years now when I was baptized. When I work at my desk, I often sometimes have to look at that Bible to remind myself of I'm no different than anyone else. I'm just like you all. Yes, I'm a pastor, but I'm a human being. I have my own quirks. I have my own thoughts. I have my own shortcomings. But yet we're all served and are loved by a gracious God who humbled himself wrapped himself with the towel around himself, took his outer coat off, and washed one another's feet. And that is the, not the primary, but one of the key attributes of a follower of Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to humble yourself. Do you truly love being around an arrogant person? It gets tiring. It gets exhausting. Especially when you have to deal with an arrogant boss. Oh, I did this. How many of you love it when somebody takes your credit, takes away your credit and passes it off as, oh, I did this, when who did all the work? Humble ourselves. I wanna ask our deacons and our elders to come up. We're gonna participate in communion here in a second. We're gonna pass the emblems out. As you think about in your life, this is a reflection. Where in your life can you grow in humility? Where in your life can you grow in humility? And the action is literally right in front of you. As we hand out the emblems, reflect and just bask in the fact that Jesus loves you, has died for you, and wants to walk with you. As followers, we're called to serve. And yes, that can be challenging. But God did so much more for us. Amen? So may we follow Jesus' example, and as we serve one another, as we humble ourselves, people will be able to trust us more and to want to grow in relationship and simply be the example, ultimately, of what God has called us to be. At this time, we'd now like to ask our elders to pray for the emblems, and then we'll pass them out.
Dear Heavenly Father, this day we come humbly at this table. And Father, we ask your blessing. Today we come around this table to celebrate in the Holy Communion. Father, we ask your blessing upon this bread, symbol of the body of our Savior Jesus, your Holy Son. He was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped and we were healed. Today we remember our vows of fidelity, love and adoration only to you, Almighty God, and your Holy Son. To you be the glory, the power, the honor, forever and ever. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Heavenly Father, as we pray over this cup, this juice that represents your blood, your innocent blood that was spilled for us. You didn't deserve that day what happened to you. We did, Lord, but you took it for us and provided us with a way out. And we so appreciate that because we were unable to do it on our own. And Lord, so as we take part in this cup today, let us remember that you are the only one that can provide the way home for us. Be with us now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're gonna pass the emblems out now, and as a church, we do practice open communion, so for those who want to participate, please feel free. Okay. As they're handing the emblems out, those who would like to maybe share a brief God moment, something that God has done in your life recently, just briefly, if you'd like to share with the congregation, this is a sharing time, so just raise your hand and one of our elders will hand you the mic and you can share. Don't be shy.
I wanted to share that at my work, we have been able to put together, the Lord put on one of the person's heart to start a Bible study at my job. And we've been really blessed by that. And so I will be teaching this Thursday on forgiveness. And when I was praying on it, the Lord right away put in my heart a vision of the foot washing, of humility. And so when I thought forgive, humility came right with that. It's hard to forgive someone that's burned us really bad. It's hard to put those feelings aside to you know, would you wash the feet of someone who you really have hard feelings towards? It's hard to do that. And so in this, I was thinking, and the Lord works in mysterious ways. Here we are having communion right when I'm trying to study about forgiveness. And all the things that Jesus went through, He had said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So it's hard for us to forgive, but you know what? Forgive them, because they don't understand how they're hurting, what they're doing to you, what pain it had caused. It's hard to forgive, but today's a great day to practice that act of forgiveness the Lord did for us, and the foot washing, to the practice that putting our feelings aside, that humility that we need to exercise for that forgiveness. And that forgiveness will set us free. It will set that heaviness in the heart that we may be battling with. So this is a beautiful time to practice that forgiveness.
Thank you, Jenny. All right. Do we have somebody in the back? Sergio?
Sorry about that. Happy Sabbath, everybody.
Happy Sabbath.
I just want to thank God again for giving me the opportunity to learn how to deal with the situation that my father is going through right now, and I also want to thank him that my father is still here with us today.
Amen.
He's been through the ringer, as you all know, and things get pretty tough, but I've been trying to focus more on learning what to do and how to do it, and trying to be at peace with everything. And it's very challenging, but it's doable. And just thank everybody for praying for my father as well.
Thank you, Sergio. Let's go ahead and have our deacons go ahead and come forward. Oh, okay. Go ahead, Debbie.
Oh, okay. I just want to thank God, our Father, that He is so faithful, and the mercies of waking up this morning after two times the devil tried to take me down just this year alone. But no matter what, I'm still here, and I'm grateful, and I'm so blessed to have such an honor to have such a family as you all are to me. I thank you for your prayers, and I thank you for just the blessings that the Lord has put on all of us. And prayer is powerful, no doubt about it.
Thank you, Debbie. Letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, chapter 11. Paul encourages the believers there who are fighting. They've taken something that is so simple and so beautiful and made it about them. And he has to remind them, this is not about you. This is about God. Verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" same way. After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And until that wonderful day that Jesus will return in full glory, we will continue to serve, we will continue to remember, we will continue to humbly love others, care for them, and share Jesus with others. Let us pray. Father in heaven, there is only so much that we can truly understand your love for us, but thank you for your great love. We truly, Lord, now want to give thanks to you. As we reflect all the good things that you've done in our lives, help us, Lord, not to take you for granted. Be with us. Watch over us. Keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.